In Jesus' name, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank God for the rain. I don't know if it ever happens to you, as it happened to me this morning, getting up, that the rain was falling, pattering on the roof on the back porch. I looked out at the thermometer, and it was 55. I saw the Bible open to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55, as the snow comes down and the rain from heaven. It's like following a license plate and seeing a number, and all these things seem to fit together. Does it ever happen to you that way? This is the power of suggestion. Certainly, we have that, and we thank God for the rain. I'd like to talk about the great dream this morning. The great American dream is almost passé. The evidence of what we see on the streets, the godless mobs, the drugs and crime and so forth on the streets, the godless philosophies in the school system, the corrupt leaders, the hypocrites in government and so forth, and a slanted and distorted media, we almost begin to think that great American dream is slipping away from us very rapidly. How about not the political, but the church environment? Unless we continually go back to our orientation in Scripture, once again, the great dream of the Christian church of these past two millennia may slip away from us. St. Paul is talking about this to the Roman Christians. He has lavished them with the greatest treasures that could possibly be shown upon a people. He has told them that in the gospel, in the words of Scripture, in the words of the prophets and apostles, God has revealed his wondrous grace by giving to them a righteousness, a forgiveness of sins, a freedom from the law, perfect peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ, even as all of these are our blessings yet today. He told them that God personally applies these gifts, these blessings upon them to those who come to faith, and that he permits his grace to enlighten and to lead them, even as he allows these blessings and this leading for us today. He told them that the whole world is waiting for the time when the children of God will be revealed. But at the same time and in the same breath, he said, one whole segment of society, the most privileged one, the Jewish people, have already forsaken, and they have hardened their hearts against it, and they are under the curse of God's wrath. So he pleads with the Roman Christians, I plead with you, now sacrifice yourselves, give yourselves as living sacrifice to this God who has loved you with that everlasting love, and use your gifts now in service to one another, in worship, in work, and in help toward one another. And then he tells them how in the respect to government and so forth, they are to respect those in authority, even though you may see that they are hypocritical in their motives and in their deeds and so forth, yet we owe them respect and allegiance, especially the delegated authorities of government. And these Roman Christians are to retain such a posture toward their fellow men that as they give and help with their works, they help even their enemies. In this way, the evil can be turned into good. And now he spends, in the end of the letter, chapters 14 and half of chapter 15, a chapter and a half, and the apostle was not wont to waste words. He spends a chapter and a half on a particular problem. It doesn't seem so great until you begin to examine it, and we thank the chapel committee for assigning this to us. Here is a problem. The problem is there are those who are strong in faith and there are those who are weak in faith. Those who are strong in faith measure their standard by how they eat food, how they drink wine, and how they observe holy days. The strong, and Paul includes himself with them, the strong contend that we have complete freedom. We can do whatever we want, eat what we want, drink what we want, worship whatever, observe this day or that, whatever we want. The weak in faith say, no, but you can't eat meat. It may have blood in it. You can't eat meat. It may have been offered to an idol, sacrificed to an idol. You shouldn't drink wine. It destroys the cells of your brain and so forth. You shouldn't, and you must observe certain regulations in regard to days and the like, because God has set this order into the days and times and seasons and so forth. These differences were okay if they had just stayed that way and said, well, you take yours, I'll take mine. But no, it didn't go that way. Rather, the strong in faith were saying to the weak in faith, but you've got to eat meat. You can't just stay with garden vegetables. You've got to drink wine. We're going to force it upon you. And certain days and so forth. And the weak were saying to the strong, they were judging the strong as being unbelievers, as being outside of the kingdom. This was a volcanic situation. Here was a society that was in an apartheid state. And if this lasted long, Paul's great dream for Rome and the Roman church as being the fulcrum for the spread of the gospel to the West, that would have vanished, that would have died. What's the answer? The answer is, and we read this in the text, first of all, remember, and these problems are close to us. We can associate with one side or another. Remember, the kingdom of God is not food nor drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit given to us through the Word of God, these are the inner things, the food and drink and holy days. Those are outward things. They're unimportant. They're adiaphora. We shouldn't make a big deal about them. But the important thing is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember that. And then secondly, seek the things that pertain to peace and the upbuilding of one another. Thus we go beyond the human and the petty things, and we seek that which pleases Christ as he has implored us. And then finally, that we learn to bear one another's burdens, and that we not please ourselves. As it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. A quotation of Psalm 69, 68 in the Septuagint, verse 10. The reproaches of men, the hostility of men, of all men, that went up to the throne of God and tried to cast God from his throne, this has come upon Jesus Christ. Christ bore that reproach for us. Therefore, do what pleases Christ. Therefore, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He did this for us. This is now our motivation. Bear one another's burdens. Begin with your home. Most of us are married, have children, and so forth. Learn, regardless if we're the head of the house or the second of the house or whatever, but learn to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. On the campus, whether we're in administration or whether we're student body, where we're teaching faculty, whether we're in the dining hall or in the bookstore, wherever we happen to be, bear one another's burdens. Remember, the reproaches of man against God with his sin was put upon Christ, and he gave himself for us. This is also Mental Illness Awareness Week. One of the great champions of this, Dr. Fuller Torrey, is in Fort Wayne. We're fortunate to have him. The Alliance for the Mentally Ill is sponsoring him at their Alliance meeting at Park Center this evening, and he will speak at the Coliseum tomorrow morning. 1 out of 10 people are suffering from some mental illness. One out of 20 can't navigate, can't be on their own. We're going to have this. We're going to meet this. Bear those burdens with one another. Be understanding for these. Not, is this person suffering under the judgment of God? Is he demon-possessed or something like that? It serves him right. But no, learn, like Christ, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a kind of ministering mentality. We see why the great apostle wanted to spend 1.5 chapters talking about this, putting it all into focus once again. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen.